Turn with me to Luke chapter 8 this morning. We're going to continue our series. Hallelujah. Praise God. We've been working our way through this, and we still have, several. Several areas that the Holy Spirit wants us to understand how we operate in the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is not like the world's kingdom, the world's system. You know, we often talk about one of the main differences in the world system and in God's system is the area of seed time and harvest. Is that and that's why I think that's why people hate the prosperity message so much. Is because they assume the prosperity message is about getting. And why? Because that's what they're familiar with. They're familiar with in this world that to get rich, you're getting. But Scripture makes it extraordinarily clear that you'll never start getting until you give. You don't start reaping until you sow. And again, you... the patience all has to do with it, but it's just different. It's just different way of thinking, and that's why I'll go back to the religion doesn't like prosperity because they're stuck. What religion does is they have God's word mixed with carnal thinking. And so, and you can't mix those two. And so they try to reason out God's word based on carnal thinking, and it doesn't fit. And so when you start talking about prosperity, again, their first run to, their first point of running to is, you just about getting. How many have ever had that mentality and it not work in the kingdom of God? Because it's not about getting. There's a law. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes you exempt from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death says I get, and then once you spend, is it. Because that's what death does. But the law of Spirit of life means there's a perpetual increase that comes with it. So the law says, if I sow seed and I care for the seed, in other words, I speak over it, I don't allow unforgiveness, envy, strife to move in, to choke it out. If I will just sow the seed, take care of the seed, I don't have to sit there and stress about the harvest, because the harvest will be automatic. The scripture that says it's like the man who plants a seed and goes to sleep and raises day and night, and he doesn't know how it's growing, but it grows. First the blade, then it goes through that area. It works automatically. We don't have to set ourselves and set our focus on getting. We set our focus on sowing. Remember several years ago, and this has been back in, I'm guessing 90. We were married in 95, right? So then about 94, I spoke to our youth group at our church in Georgetown, and I said, I said, I want this year to be a so-so year. And they all looked at me like, huh? Do you remember that sermon, Jessica, that year? And I said that no, not S-O-S-O. S-O-W, S-O-W. We're going to sow. We're going to give. Now, again, I didn't stay there long enough to see the harvest. The next youth pastor got there, and but man, that youth group gave. Yeah, I've told you the story, that pastor jumping over pews to come to talk to me. Say, how did you get him to give? We made this year a so-so year. But if you, again, the point is, when that becomes your target, and it doesn't make sense to people, that's why they get angry at prosperity teachers. Prosperity believers. Because it doesn't make sense to them. And that's why God says, I give you everything in a mystery. Because it won't make sense to those who don't understand the mystery. Let's just read here. Hallelujah. I went on that whole rant there just simply to say that we're trying to find out how the kingdom of God operates. How do you operate in the kingdom of God? How does it function? And here it says, Luke chapter 8, verse 9, the disciples asked him and said, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. So the point that I bring out with that is that God wants us to understand the secrets or the hidden parts of the kingdom of God. He wants us to understand how it operates. That's why that's what he taught. He taught the kingdom of God. Now, why does he want us to understand it? So we can operate in it. Too many Christians know the legalese. They know the do's and don'ts, but they don't know the kingdom. They think the kingdom of God is about rules. I love the scripture because it gets deeper. The more the kingdom of God's not about meat and drink. It's not about what you eat, not about what you drink, not about what you wear, not about all this kind of stuff. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. It's an inside thing. That you are receiving the Word of God, you're receiving His understanding inside, and it changes you from the outside. Again, seed time, harvest. Now, we have worked, and we worked going through Matthew 13, and just simply because there were several parables hit. And we're stopping one short, but we've covered it. We just didn't, it wasn't official, but we did cover it. The parable number one was the parable of the soils, that you've got to receive the word. And again, the word does what in the soils? It grows. The kingdom of God is about growing. It's about receiving and growing. How do you become the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus said, that's not mine to give. And the reason it's not mine to give, because it's about who receives and who keeps growing. Are you going to keep growing? Are you going to find a place where you've grown enough? We might get there today. I want to get there today. It wouldn't hurt me to get through a couple parables today. But the point is that there's a lot of people who have almost stopped growing in the things of God. And that's what I mean. I that's one of the reasons I want to get to it today. And if I don't, it'll be the first message I preach on 2020. But the point is that there's a lot of people who have almost stopped growing in the things of God, and they get frustrated. And their frustration is they don't seem as close to God now as they did a year, 2 years, 3 years ago. But again, they come into church and they listen, and the pastor's preaching, and they're like, that's good, that's wonderful, good job, I like that. And they leave, and they don't apply anything. And one of the scriptures we'll go over here, hopefully today, is to them who have and use it, more will be given. But when you don't use what you have, let's say, let's say I have a big punch bowl up here. Okay, I know it's not like oh, okay, punch. It's a good punch bowl. It's not. It's good. The punch is good. All right. It's the tastiest punch in the whole entire world, and everybody in the room likes it, whether you like punch or not. Okay. And so Pastor Lisa comes up and she has her cup and I fill it up. And I'm like, hey, you can have as much as you want. All right. And she goes, sits down. A few minutes later, Steve comes up with his glass. He poured it. I said, you have as much as you want. A few minutes later, Jessica comes up. I put more. And a few minutes later, Steve comes up. His cup's empty. I put more in there. A few minutes later, Beulah comes up. I fill it up. You can have as much as you want. A few minutes later, Jessica comes up. It's cup's empty. I fill it back up. She goes, sit down. Steve comes back up. That's some tasty stuff. And it's empty. And he fills it back up. A few minutes later, Pastor Lisa stands up and goes, why do you keep giving everybody more? And I look down at her cup and it's still full. She hadn't used any of it and hadn't enjoyed any of it. How can she be upset? And so that's where most Christians are. They get dried up in their Christian walk simply because they've got stuff and they've got cobwebs in their insides and all that kind of stuff because they've not used anything in a long time. It's the dust on the top of the books, right? That'll tell you the whole story about how much those books have been read. Red is the dust on top and the cleanness on the bottom. And there's a lot of Christians who are not using the Word. Therefore, the Word's not growing in them, not increasing in them. And then they can't figure out why they're not as excited about hearing the Word coming from the mouth of the pastor this Sunday. And what do? Pastor's been off the last couple weeks because, man, I remember when I used to receive from him left and right. And that was just, every sermon he preached was so excited. And they're sitting there with a full cup that they've never used. And that's the beauty of that. I really never saw it until I went through it like it did. But it's the soil. It's the soil working that determines the harvest. But we amen. Parable number two, parable of the seeds and the tares. And again, that had to do with the fact that God plants good, the enemy plants bad. Don't mistake that. And it's not necessarily in regards to people, our job to say who's good and who's bad. Last night Jesse and I, once we got up and got a few things out of the way, we just kind of had a lazy day. And I just remember, I at some point last night, I think Jessica was sleeping or something like that, and I was just kind of laying there. And I started realizing that, I just started praying that the Holy Spirit would give me more of a burden for the lost. That when I go to Walmart, they wouldn't annoy me so much. And that instead of looking at them as an annoyance, I would start seeing the mission. That many of them need Jesus. And again, so often we can go places and whether we call it judging or whether we call it critiquing or whether we call it being annoyed by, we spend our time looking and watching other people instead of saying, hold it, we don't know if it's a weed or a tare. We don't know if it's a weed or we don't know if it's a seed or a tare. We don't know if it's someone that God's planted in my life for a purpose, or if the enemy's put in my life to try to steal my joy. We don't know that. So our job isn't to start plucking out, well, you just must be someone from the devil. It's who you are. That's not our job. Our job is to love them and to look at them and understand they need Jesus. Amen. Number three, we talked about the parable of the grain of the mustard seed. And again, the key there is growth. It's not little. Don't let people get by with that. All you need is a little bit of faith. And I want to look at it and go, how's that little bit of faith been treating you? Because you can preach it all you want and it doesn't make it true. Jesus, when he brings up mustard seeds, he says they grow. They do. There's very little you can do with a mustard seed on its own. I suppose you could crush it, or I don't know. You could. There's probably some things you could do with it. But what really brings it value and really makes it is when it's planted and it grows, and then a bunch of stuff can happen to it. It's growth. The kingdom of God is growth. Beloved, you do not get. You get born again, and you're as righteous as you ever will be. The problem is most people don't know what that means. And so you're not growing to get more righteous. And has anybody ever noticed? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. None of the fruit is righteousness. The kingdom of God is righteousness. It's righteousness isn't a fruit. It's who you are. So you are as righteous today. We just don't know what that means. We don't know how it operates for us. We don't know what does that mean for me? So what do we need to do? Grow in it. Grow in our understanding of it. Get more information. Get more word. Get more seed on it. Get more understanding. Hallelujah. And again, to grow in the fruit, same thing. Got to grow. 4 was the parable of the leaven and the meal. And again, the point, I can say it this way, whatever you allow in will grow. But I believe that again, it is emphasizing that point that the kingdom of God grows and takes over. Beloved, we have got to get to that point where the kingdom of God is what we think about and the kingdom of God is all that matters. 5, and we spent a couple weeks on this, and I can't spend more time. I want to because it's that deep. But was the parable of the hidden treasure. And parable 6 was the parable of the pearl of great price. Both of them told us the key to the kingdom is passion, is a hunger, is a desire to go after it. I'm not pulling back. I'm not letting go. I'm going all in. And again, that's the part of the passion is that there's no price I won't pay. See, as long as you're thinking about what can I get by with and still be in the kingdom, what can I still allow in my life from the world to still be in the kingdom, the beauty of the kingdom hasn't gotten a hold of you yet. As long as you're going, well, Pastor, can I still do this and be born again? You haven't gotten a hold of the kingdom. Because if it's wrong, you'll know it's wrong. If it's right, you'll know it's right. And if it's somewhere in between, you're like, I must not need it then. All right. You seem to be excited about that because I told you I wasn't going to preach on it then. But it's a willingness for it. Now, parable number, I'm going to just insert this because I don't want to change my numbers right yet. Parable 6.5 was, remember the dragnet? And we mentioned it before when we talked about the tares and the seed. And so I'm not going to bring it up here again. But again, he'll bring in all sorts of critters. All sorts of critters come in. Not all sorts of critters are going to be a part of his kingdom. Amen. Now let's move on. I'm going to call it Parable 7, even though next week it may be Parable 8. But it's Luke chapter 19 is where we're going to go. And I'm going to say this, the parable, I'm cutting it off in verse 15 because again, I think there's maybe more we could pull off on this, but I really just wanted to focus on what the Holy Spirit was telling us. And beyond that is more of the rewards. And again, there's a reward for being faithful and all that kind of stuff. But we'll just call this parable 7 is the 10 Minas. Not the actress. Isn't there an actress, Minas Kunis or something like that? I don't know. But the 10 Minas, coins, whatever, in other places they talk about the talents. But here it's the 10 minas, which I believe it says 10 pounds, but it's the minas is the actual measurement. Start in verse 11. It says, and as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, because they thought the kingdom of God would immediately appear. Now again, in context, he's saying that the kingdom of God is like. But he's addressing this specifically because they thought that when he was talking about the kingdom of God, matter of fact, it says that he was approaching Jerusalem. He's coming tonight to Jerusalem. So they kind of felt like every second, every time they went into Jerusalem, he was going to overthrow the government. He was going to overthrow the religious leaders. He's going to just make this big change, and they're going to come and they're going to be right there on the throne. That's why they're always concerned about who's going to be greatest in your kingdom, because next time we go to Jerusalem, it could be the time. And so what he wanted them to understand is that's not how it's going to happen. And so he said, I'm going to give you this illustration, this parable, because you think that the kingdom of God is going to immediately appear. Verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. But the citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass when he had returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now again, 16 on talks about, it's very similar. First one comes now the difference between this is it seems like they all were given the same amount versus the parable of the talents that we're familiar with, where one was given five, one was given two, and one was given one. He said he delivered them 10. It says he called 10 servants and delivered 10 pounds. I heard people say that he gave 10 to each of them. I heard some that he gave one to each of them. I'm not as worried about that, but he gave them an equal amount. He gave them the same to work with. And again, we see that one of them came, and he dealt with three of them, because one of them came and said, man, I've increased it tenfold. And he goes, man, I like that. I like what you've done. And he called him good and faithful servant. The other one increased him some, and he said, I like that. And then the other one said, no, man, I knew you're a hard man, and I folded it up, and I put it in a napkin and stuck it in the ground because I wanted to hide it, because so no one would steal it, and so I wouldn't lose it, because I knew if you came back and I'd lost it. In other words, it didn't grow. The key to the kingdom is growth, is increase. When do we stop increasing? Yeah. I say the only time that we're unsure about increasing is once we get into heaven. But then again, there's a lot of pictures there that there's going to be teaching in heaven. God says His kingdom's about growing. Seed time, it's growing. It's learning, it's growing. It's investing in this kingdom. And again, the point here, I do not necessarily believe is totally financial, yet it's financial. Jesus uses finances to bring home a point. And so we can take what Doc's been talking about on Sunday nights about investing our money and increasing our money, and that's fine. But I believe this is showing us a physical picture to bring around the point that in the kingdom, we need to be increasing and growing. We need to be growing in this thing and not staying the same with whatever He's given us. But here's the thing. I like this, that verse 13, and here's the point I want to bring out to us, and the main point I want us to focus on is verse 13. He says, occupy till I come. And that word occupy simply does mean do business, improve, increase. He told them to increase. He told them, I'm giving you this to increase, to grow. I'm not giving you this to hold on to and go, look what I got, or hide it and say, I ain't gonna let anybody know I got it because I don't want them to steal it. My understanding, now if I remember this correctly, I didn't write it down, but Amina is worth like about 100 days' wages, is what I've heard. So it's not just an insignificant amount. I mean, if you think in terms of you work probably about 300 days, 300 maybe some change a year, and so it's a third of your income that year. That's fairly significant. Whether you make a lot or a little, it's still fairly significant. If you make $20,000, it's still $7,000 a year, roughly. Or $7,000. So we're dealing here with a decent amount of money that he invested and he gave to them. And he told them, I want you to take this and I want you to grow it. I want you to invest it. I want you to make it bigger. I want you to do business with what I've given you. I don't want to come back and find you with the same amount that I gave you. The scriptures talk about, Jesus said, hey, when I come again, how much faith am I going to find this earth? For most of us, we'd say, for most Christians, they'd say, the same amount you gave me at the start. Because I was busy serving an angry God. A mean God. Right? Isn't he the one that was cast into fire, gnashing of teeth, all that kind of stuff? Because, beloved, the point we're bringing here is that God said, I've given you what I've given you. I've given you all the fruit. I've given you my word. I've given you favor. I've given you blessings. I've given you promises. Not for you to take and hide. Not for you to take and dig and put in the ground so that nobody would ever see it. And again, the picture isn't like he was investing into the ground because he just got, you know, we've just read how many things about sowing seed into the ground. That wasn't it. It was his hiding. It was almost kind of like, and we'll read this maybe here in a little bit. It's kind of like, hide it under a bushel. No. You gotta work it. You gotta invest it. You gotta sow it. Let's just think in terms of finances. He gave them enough money to sow. He gave them more than enough money to sow. To increase. But he said, I want you to understand that this thing ain't happening overnight. There's going to be some time involved. And again, this kind of goes into what I was talking about in offering teaching, is that a lot of people want things to happen now. I've sown a seed, I've expected it to come forth, and they're confounded. They're bewildered by the fact that there's a tribulation that comes. That they're going to have to use patience. God says that you're going to need some patience. The word in Galatians that we often, I love joy, peace, patience, but it's the word long-suffering. Which, guess what that means? Suffering long. It means that you may have to put up with some tribulations for a little while. It means it may not change overnight. But what do we do while it's not changing? We keep growing. We keep investing. We keep sowing. We keep doing with what He gave us, what He told us to do with what He gave us. The servants in this represent those who receive Him, have yielded to Him. They were the ones that received what He had for them. The citizens, there is conjecture, but simply I believe the best picture. The citizens were those that refused Him. And they would have been the Jewish people who professed to be people of the kingdom. but they didn't receive the king. And they didn't get what he had. He was still king. They didn't get the harvest. They didn't get that stuff. The servants got it. Which again, the picture that we want to bring out here is that we are not servants, we are children, but we operate as servants. We take on the form of a servant. Philippians chapter 2, He says, Jesus did not think it was considered robbery to be equal with God, but he took on himself the form of a servant and made himself of no reputation. Because he wasn't a servant, he allowed himself to be yielded to what God said. And that's what caused him to increase. The servants, those that operated in servanthood, that he gave and they increased. Try this side. Beloved, and it goes on, when he came back again, he held people accountable for what they had done with what he gave them. And again, I'm reminded of that scripture that says, when he comes back again, will he find faith on earth? Or will he just still find that same measure, that same coin that Christians have just hidden and not and made it of none? It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, it is required in stewards. Now, a steward is someone who's been given something by someone else to take care of. That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. Now, he did not come. And John, can you, just 16, let's just read a little bit here, because in that same chapter, Luke 19, just go to 16. I just want to read a little bit here. It says, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, good servant, good boy, because you have been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Can I stop there for a second? 100 days' wages, the master said, that's nothing to me. You may have received a good return on some seed you've sown. Don't let that be the end, because that's nothing to him. And he said unto him, and he said to the second one, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou also rule over 5 cities. Can I just throw this out at him? It doesn't say he took it and took it back to himself. Why? Because he gave them to them. He just wanted them to be faithful over what he gave them. What happened when they were faithful over what he gave them? He gave them more. That's everything. If you will grow, if you will increase, if you'll be faithful over what God's placed in your hands, God will be faithful to give you more. Not just more responsibility. Yeah, that'll come with it. But more. And he said, likewise, going to be over 5 cities. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art a steward man. Thou takest what laidest not down, and reapest what thou didst not sow. And he said to him, out of thine... I'm going to stop there a little bit, just because I don't want to get into all that kind of stuff. But man, when people start saying, God just wants me to give so I never have anything, I'd guard yourself on that. I don't give because he hasn't given me anything since I sowed last time. I'd guard myself on that one. Because what you currently have has been given to you by him. Be faithful over what you have. That's the thing. And so he says, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. If God's going to place it in your hands, beloved, you've got to be faithful over what he's placed in your hand. Luke 16, verse 10. Says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in much. Man, when I get a big job, when I get my raise, when I win, I'll really be faithful then. No, you won't. You might be kind of faithful. You might be a little bit more faithful. But you know what a little bit more faithful is? Still unfaithful. Kind of faithful is still unfaithful. I only cheat on my wife 3 or 4 times a year. I'm not one of those hooligans that cheat on her every weekend. Guess what? I'm unfaithful. I don't, Jessica. It's just simply to prove a point. He that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. If therefore ye have been faithful and unrighteous mammon, again, that's the money, that's the stuff, that's the earthly stuff. God's going to give you the stuff that matters. He's going to increase to you more. If you've not been faithful in what's another man's, who's going to give you what's your own? God wants to give you more. That's what the kingdom of God's about. God wants to give you more. He is fascinated with you, and He wants to increase you, and He wants to overload in your life. But what are you doing with what you currently have? Say, Pastor, that I don't have a lot. You have His Word. You have a man of God. Ephesians chapter 4 says He's a gift. The evangelist, prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, they're gifts that have been given to you. Are you faithful in them? He's giving you a measure of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. How faithful have you been in those? You say, well, I was talking about money. I know you were. But if you'll be faithful in what God has placed in your hands as a steward, He'll get you more. If you've been unfaithful in that stuff, how can He trust you with more? You know, when my kids went on trips in with basketball, they'd go away for the weekend, especially around the holidays for tournaments. And whenever they would, we would give them $2 or $3 to spend however they wanted to, you know. No, we'd give them money. Let's say we'd give them $50. Because they wouldn't eat, they would never have to pay for their own food, but they would want to, you know, get stuff or whatever, their t-shirt. So let's say we give them $50. Let's say I give Allison $50 to go on this trip, and she calls me an hour after they leave and says, Dad, I don't know where the $50 is at. I don't have it anymore. Now I may count that off to the fluke, give her some more money to because I love her. But what if I cash app her $50? And she somehow says, Dad, I don't know what happened here. The $50 was in my account a second ago, and I pulled out $50 in my ATM and I lost the $50 again. I'm not going to keep just throwing her $50. Because contrary to popular belief, $50 means something, a little bit of something. No matter how much money you have, $50 is still $50. And you can't keep just throwing it away. Now, I've never hit that with them, with my kids. We've given them many much monies over the years, and they're usually faithful. They maybe lost something here or there, but it's a fluke. They've been faithful over it, so I'm not worried about giving them a little bit more down the road. But we as Christians find it so odd that we are flippant about what God's placed in our hands and can't figure out why the seed that we sow is not bearing a harvest that we think it should bear. The Bible says a hundredfold return. But you've not been faithful over. This tells us right here that when you sow a seed, that when you're doing something in the kingdom of God, there's a process of time. And what do we do during that process of time? We stay faithful. We stay consistent. We do the business that we need to do. If it's financial, then we're, but beloved, we are busy sowing seed and bringing our tithe. Yes, in between the seed time and the harvest, we're still bringing our tithe and still sowing seed. Why? Because in the midst of that time, we're still doing business. We're still doing the work of the kingdom. We're still doing what God's called us to do. And when we sit there and sow a seed, and we're going, sooner or later it's going to come to pass, we should not be surprised when there it is not there. Well, Pastor Thad, that means God's Word. No, it means His Word works. Jesus said, Jesus taught, read words. Occupy till I come. Do what you need to do with what I've given you until I come. When He comes back and He finds what He's given you hidden in the earth in a dirty napkin, don't stand there and go, well, I didn't know. The next one, the next, and I can't even start it today because I'll be out of time. But the next one we're going to go through is talking about that. That very thing. That watch. That's where it is. We're going to talk about take heed what you hear. Because if you're going to a preacher that's not telling you these secrets, you need to find your preachers telling you these secrets. Because you will, you'll be accountable for what you don't know. You need proof. Go back there to 19, Luke 19, and go to the third dude. I want to read you this again. I'm guessing it'd be somewhere 22. 23. I want you to see for yourself. Did this man have right information? 19, Luke 19. Did this man have good information? No, he had the perception of what he had been told from somebody. Luke 19:22, I think, is. I know. I got you. He said, out of thine own mouth. 21 is where he said, you're a hard man. You're tough. And he said, out of your own mouth will I judge you, thou wicked servant. In other words, you'll be judged by what you have been taught. So if you're under a pastor that's been teaching that God's a hard God, it's a tough God. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. If you're under a pastor like that, you'll still be judged. You'll be judged from an angry God. And I'm not saying that he's going to all of a sudden be angry, but you're going to get exactly what you're believing for. You knew I was an austere man, taking up what I laid not down, and reaping what I didn't sow. Verse 23. Wherefore you gave not my money into the bank, that I'd even have usury, get interest. 24. And he said unto them that stood by, take from the pound that I gave him, give him the one that has 10. To him who hath, will you give him more? To those that are faithful, he's faithful to give you more. He'll find ways. Like, but Pastor Thad, I don't have any rich uncles. I don't have any rich aunts. I don't have, my grandpa. He owes more than he ever made in his life, and I'm going to have to pay off debt when he dies. I don't know what to do. I have no clues. God will find something. He'll find someone who's been unfaithful with their money, and he'll place it in your hands if you're faithful over what he's given you. 25. Was it 25? And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath shall be given. From him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. 27. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And it goes on. Point simply being, you're responsible for you. You're responsible to increase with what God's given you. What do you have today? Beloved, if you have a job, you may say, my education got me this. God put that in your hands. God directed you in that area. God's blessed you with that job. There's some of y'all the workplaces that other people have been let go from. And here you are, still got that job. That's God saying, I want you to have that job, and I've placed it in your hands. Now the question becomes, are you going to be faithful over what I put in your hands? What do you have in your hands? What do you have today? What has God given to you today? You've been given the fruit. You've been given His favor. You've been given faith. You've been given His promises. What are you doing? You've been given His word. What are you doing with those things? Do you pay attention to the word of God on a weekly basis? Every Sunday, whether I like it or not? Or is that something that you're faithful on every day? Faithful to receive more every day? We're going to find out here in a little bit. We've been given a light. It may be a little one right now, but are you faithful in lighting the darkness? Or when you're in public, do you look and act just like everybody else? A light. You ready for this revelation? A light never looks like darkness. You'll never expect light. You'll never confuse light with darkness. Let's stand together. Jesse, we have some time here this morning. Let's come on up. And I really didn't think that one maybe was one of the shortest amount of notes that I've had on all the parables. And the Holy Spirit, goodness, He wanted me to stay on it for a little while. And I told you I wasn't going to focus on the last part of it, and here we did. We focused on the last part of it. Because again, beloved, God's not after your stuff. He's after you. He wants you fully in His kingdom. What sounds good? Let's do something simple. Either that one or I Behold You. Because either one of those are simple. You pick one. You're the music person. Either that one or I Behold You. Sheesh, I give her authority and she... And that's the kingdom of God. God is more interested in blessing you than you are even to be blessed. But he's not going to do... The kingdom of God doesn't work that we just sit around and wait for it to happen. And I love that phrase. That was why that phrase was kind of what I was focusing and everything about on that. Is occupy till I come. Work what I've given you until I come. Grow what I've given you till I come again. Because when I come back again, I don't want to find just the same stuff on planet Earth. I want to find things increased. I want to find my people knowing who I am. Knowing that I'm faithful to reward them according to their righteous, according to what they've done. And if I can throw this out at you, what you do matters. It's not about what you do. It's about grace. It's about... No, what you do matters. What you do with what he's giving you matters. I know Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record at some level this parable. But if you've been given a lot, we've all been given the same. But other parables were, he gave them different. So it's not what you start with. It's about your faithfulness. What have you done with your faithfulness? This morning, as we just close this up, let's just sing this song. Jesse, you can lead it. I don't know if... I think you're still on. It's dry. Okay. I'll help. But let's just, as we sing a song, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal if there's something that maybe you've been stagnant in, as you've not been pressing on. Maybe it's more than one thing. And if you've messed up, if you've not been faithful, it's a simple solution. Admit it and quit it. Amen. Make a decision. Lord, what you've given to me, you remind, you keep it on my heart, and I'm going to be faithful with that. Huh? I've come.